giving honor to the senior pastor, first lady in their absence this morning. I want to thank God for this opportunity to get up here and expound on the word of God. We've had a great week this week, holding on and looking up. Sometimes that's all you can do. But if you hold on and you look up, Jesus is there to meet your every need. Now, Thursday, we started on, God gave me the thought about beware. Beware. God is trying to elevate us to a spot in the church. I'm talking about the whole body. But there, and he's left up instructions on how to do it. Because it seems like the church as a whole is all over the place. Everybody going their own way. Okay? God has a structure and an order to himself. And he's placed it in his word, because when he comes back, that's what he's going to be looking for. Amen. He's going to be looking for that plan that he purposed in himself eons ago. And so he's left this plan, and he's left steps. I was talking to the first lady, talking about man having a servant problem. And the person kept coming to him talking about his servant. And like I said, Thursday night, the master of the servant told the guy that he thought he was being unduly suspicious about his servant. But the guy went on and was telling him about other things that maybe the master didn't know that the servant was getting into. And so the man turned to the guy talking to him and said, "Well, I see that I'm going to have to take steps." Now, God's going to take steps with us. Nobody had to tell him that he was having a servant problem. They purposed in the beginning, the Trinity purposed in the beginning, that they were going to have to send Jesus down here because of a potential problem.
Amen.
Jesus has come, and he has done his work, and he has gone back to the Father. And he has left steps for us, okay, ABCs, if you will, for us to go by. Because a lot of folks, let me tell you, it's one body. Now, let's just make it plain. It's one body.
Yes, sir.
But there's stages in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's stages in it. There's the Old Testament, you know, but it is called the Old Covenant. And then there is the New Testament, or the New Covenant. Okay? It was necessary for God to place that Old Covenant in the earth so that his people, he could get close to them.
Amen.
He put in place the rites and rituals and all of those things for us to get close to him. But now that Jesus has come, we no longer need those rituals.
Amen.
And the steps that God has put in his book lets us know not to go back to those old steps. Amen. But there's a lot of folks that try to lead folks back to the old when God has the new.
All right.
Amen. Now, I'm gonna do a little bit of teaching to this morning, okay? Now, we're gonna understand two things. We're gonna talk about for a moment the old covenant. There's two things you look at when you look at the Old Testament. You look at the gospel and the ritual.
Amen.
I'm gonna say that again: the gospel and the ritual. Here's the gospel. The gospel is the everlasting gospel. It is the message that the Creator alone was to be feared and worshiped, and men were to have no other gods beside him. He is the holy and righteous judge. He was and is and will be the only and the final judge of man.
Amen.
That's what the gospel says. Okay? So that's eternal, because that doesn't change. God is able. He is the one to be worshipped. He is the one to be praised. He is the one to be lifted up. And we are going to be judged by him.
Amen.
What has changed is the ritual.
Come on.
God said, "Build me a sanctuary, a tabernacle in the midst of the people." And in the midst of the tabernacle, there were rites and sacrifices and things that they had to do in order to stay close to God.
Amen. Right?
One of them was circumcision.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You had to be circumcised by the eighth day. If you didn't, Moses, he gave the law to Moses. Moses didn't do it. God was coming to kill him. Because
yeah.
he disobeyed the law. His wife, Zipporah, had to perform the ritual in order to keep Eliezer alive.
Right.
So those things, God had placed those things in it. Now that Jesus has come and has fulfilled all that, because, you know, you had, let me tell you something. When you did the sacrifice, you had to have bull. You had to have goat. You had to have pigeons. You had to have salt. You had to have bread. You had to have all of that stuff. And you had to have it in the right portion. And you had to bring it before the priest. And you had to kill your own animal. And the priest laid it out. And he washed it and did all of these things to sacrifice it. That's what you had to do to in order to stay close to God. You also had to observe the word of God, the law that was going on. But Christ was the end of the law. Christ came and fulfilled all of those scriptures. He became our covering because the priest had to go in once a year and sprinkle the blood for the whole nation that covered them for the whole year. But now that's over. Over in Hebrews, it said, if the blood of bulls and goats was so good, why did I end it?
How about that? Say that.
But folks on TV telling you, you got to do this to bring this offering in so that you can be blessed. You got to bring this first fruit offering and you'll be blessed. You got to send in a Passover offering. I don't know nothing about that, okay? All I know is that Jesus, he came down here and he did the work. And I knew enough. I said, Lord, I need a Savior. And Lord, I need help. And he helped me. And now it took a while because I had to get understanding. You don't get saved the first time you hear the word of God. God's got to work on you because there's experiences, there's hard-headedness, there's stubbornness all in this man, and you got to get that out, and by him showing you that love, then he can win your soul, and he did. I was 17 years old, I was in high school, and I got before the man, and I confessed Christ, and I felt the Spirit coming with my life, and I felt my burdens lifted, and I began to walk with Jesus. Now, I took some side steps, and when I got here, I was telling Pastor Relford, Pastor Gardner, it's a shame. I've been saved for 17 years and I don't know your word. But God opened up a door and the pastor himself began to teach me. Sometimes it was only the two of us in the class. But if you got a willing heart and a humble heart, God will make a way for you. You look around and there's not many people left. But that don't make no difference either. Because if you look at the 12 tribes, there was 12 of them, but they all were different sizes. They weren't all the same size. They didn't all have the same people, but they all had the same God. And the same God was with the ones who had the most people as he was with the ones that had the least. Come on and give God some praise. Now God has left steps. We have a new covenant. The covenant was activated by Jesus. When he shed his blood, every first Sunday or so, and I don't care what church you go to, we call it communion. And a lot of folks mistake it for forgiveness of sin. He says, remember me. Okay. He said, a new testament in my blood or a new covenant in my blood.
Yeah.
Left instructions, talking about judge yourself. What he's talking about, judge yourself, he's talking about as you relate to the other members of the body.
Amen.
Because you're not alone. The purpose of God in the earth was to have a many-membered body just like his firstborn son, Jesus.
All right.
That's what our job is. Our job is to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about the laying on hand, because when folks think about Jesus, they think about we were talking about the flashes of power that he had when he put his hands on folks and they were, the demons were cast out. He put his hands on folks and they got up from the grave and he put his hands on folks and they got healed. But I'm talking about the life.
Man.
Everybody didn't experience Jesus touch that way, but they experienced his life, like the woman at the well. He didn't lay hands on her. He talked to her. He showed her some love. She was an alien. She was Samaritan. But yet, when he got through, the Jews and Samaritans didn't get along.
That's right.
But let me tell you something. Jesus was the barrier breaker.
Yeah. All right.
He don't care about racism. You know, folks get caught up in what color he was. It don't matter.
Man.
The form that he took. In times past, he was with Jehovah God, the Father, sitting at the right hand. And when you read in that old covenant, his name was God, that let you know that he was there with the Father. The word, the Lord talks about God the Father. The word God talks about God the Son. And they were in operation in the old covenant. So he's always been there.
Amen.
Now, to a promise to Abraham, he came through that line of Jude. Okay. Now we know how, look, we're not going to get into all that, but you know how some of them are. Okay. They're arrogant because they're God's chosen people. But let me tell you something. Because of their disobedience, that opened the door for us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Come on and preach.
That opened the door for us. So we're not second-class citizens. We're God's chosen people also.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's invested his spirit in us. And he's given us his Holy Ghost. And he's given us gifts and talent to work in the kingdom, work in this body. A oneness that God himself put in the earth. Come on and give God some praise. Now he said over there in Colossians, and now I'm going to go back and give you the ABCs. He said over in the Colossians, let no man deceive you.
Right.
Let no man trick you out of this. Don't let nobody take you as prey, thinking that you need what they say when you got this book.
Well,
right.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. A lot of folks on TV got an agenda.
Yeah.
They could claim.
Yeah.
And their agenda is based on well, how much money they got in their pocket.
Come on here.
And they want to preach to you so they can get your money into their pocket.
My Lord.
Now, yeah, in the meantime, yeah, they want you to be blessed, but their ulterior motive is not for your whole health.
No,
theirs is for you to depend on them.
Yes, sir.
There's that scripture in, I think it's 2 Chronicles 20:20. They quoted, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing, believe in the prophets and so you shall prosper. Let me tell you something. When Jesus did his work, the prophet was placed in you.
Well.
So I don't need to run to every Sally Jane Sue, Tom, Dick, and Harry to get a word when I can go to this book.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm on the face.
And get what I need out of.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to talk about the ABCs a minute, and then we're going to go into what God has done and planned out for us. Because there's a plan for us. And we have to follow that plan, because otherwise we're going to be just like the children of Israel. Children of Israel, where are they right now? They're sitting on the bench in blindness because they refused to follow out the plan that God had given them. Now, God said he's going to have a people, and that people is us. Okay, and that's us, not alone, and not just us alone. I'm going to explain that too. Okay, but the plan is for God, when he made the new covenant, there are instructions that come with it, and we have to follow them out.
Amen.
Now, here's the steps. God has given us the epistles. All right? The epistles are written to us. Okay? We're not under the law anymore. He did away with that.
Amen.
We don't have to come to God by bringing sheep and all of that stuff. We come as we are.
Yeah.
When Jesus died, the veil in the temple is rent. I don't need a high priest anymore. There are those religions that go before the priest to make confession. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is present yourself to God and say, Lord, here I am.
Amen.
I'm tired of the way I'm living. And come unto him and he will receive you.
Amen.
Because he's the one that prepared the way.
Amen.
Now, Romans talks about doctrine and instruction. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It wasn't him, but it was promised before. In the Old Testament and with the prophets. God's justification of Jew and Gentile individually. Dead and risen with Christ, and their relation dispensationally, the subject of the mystery. That's what we're going to talk about. Now, the other steps are Corinthians is reproved. when you fail to put into practice what God talks about in Romans, then he reproves you, gets you back in line with Corinthians. Then there's Galatians. That's doctrinal failure. Corinthians is failure in practice. Galatians is failure in doctrine, because a lot of folks try to interpret the word of God by their own standard. God will, you know, there's one thing I found out from pastor. The word of God will interpret itself. All you got to do a lot of times is keep reading. Keep reading. First time I found out to be true, you know, I was a young man. I had an encounter with a witness. And they said, came up to me and told me that they were the 144,000. My dad told me, he said, a lot of folks in cults take things out of context. She said, we're this. And she opened her Bible. I said, no, look, it says out of the tribe of Judah, so-and-so. Out of the tribe of Benjamin, so-and-so. Out of the tribe of Manasseh. I said, they're talking about them. They're not talking about you. God has made provision for you, but they have locked themselves into that. Millions of them, but they're going to lock themselves into 144,000. Don't make sense. When God has made provision for you. Okay? Because if you keep on reading, God said down a few more scriptures, he said, I saw a number which no man could number. And they were dressed in white. Who were they? Those are the Gentiles. In other words, God has never forgotten us. But if you don't know how to read this book that God has given you, then you don't know. Let me tell you something. Blessing, all blessing is, once again, is to make you happy. God wants to make us happy. He sent his son and he sent his word to make us happy. It don't mean that you know what folks mean by blessed. You know, all of a sudden you got some magic dust spread on you and everything that you do and say is now one. It don't depend on how much money you got in your pocket or not.
Amen.
The blessing of God depends on whether you obey his word.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.
So we looked at Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians. Once again, that's doctrine and instruction. Reproof Corinthians from practical failure in practice. Galatians talks about correction from doctrinal failure. Now we get to Ephesians. That's doctrine and instruction. It's talking about the mystery of God, always hidden, never before revealed, individual Jews and Gentiles gathered out and made one new man in Christ, and we're seated with Christ in the heavens. That's where we are now. Philippians is reproof. It's practical failure to exhibit the teaching of Ephesians. And then there's Colossians. Doctrinal failure as to the teaching of Ephesians. Wrong doctrine. Once again, talking about you need to do this to be complete. When God says that you are complete in him.
Amen.
Now let's go to Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter. Hopefully we're not going to try not to be too long. We're going to start Ephesians 3 in the second verse. It says, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace, of the grace of God, which is given to me toward you. Now, they've heard it, but you know, a lot of times, just like we say, a lot of times when you hear the word of God for the first time, you don't understand. So God has to, he understands that, so a lot of times that's why a pastor or a teacher or someone will get up and repeat a message. Now, it's not exactly the same, but it needs to be redone so that we get the understanding, because God wants us to understand him. Okay, he wants us to understand him. All right? He said, third verse. He said, now this grace has been, second verse again. He said, this dispensation or this stewardship, he made Paul a manager over this. And Paul has given it to us, the grace of God, which is given to him for us. Okay? In other words, what God gives you, don't hold it.
Man.
You share it. Whatever gift. And like I say, The love, the joy, the peace, that's what we're supposed to be sharing. Not our bad attitudes, not we got up on the wrong side of the bed, not life treating us bad, because you know what? Everybody goes through it. I don't care who you are and how much money you got in your pocket. Everybody goes through something, okay? But we can share the goodness that God has shown us, and we share that by that grace of God. Third verse, it says, how by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, okay? As he wrote in a few words. Now, I want you to write down these scriptures right quick. Write down Romans 15 and 4. And write down Romans 16, 25 and 26. Okay? What those are going to do, those are going to give you, they're going to give you the beginning of what is called the mystery. All right? Simply put, the mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the comfort. Christ in us, the hope of being just like Jesus. That's the plan. Okay? So, he made it known because that was his. The part that us being blessed was not his. The part on how he was going to do it was his. Okay? Because the Jews already had a problem with Jesus. Especially the religious ones, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they was always up at Jesus, trying to test him at every point. Okay? So God was always battling with them with the word. But God, once again, he made, and what it was is that we are a joint body together, made up of Jews and Gentiles, man, made into one new man in Christ Jesus.
Man.
That's why over there in Corinthians, when it talks about that communion, that many of you are sick and weak. Why? Because you have failed to understand that that person sitting next to you is connected to God just like you are. And when you talk about them, when you do them wrong, you make yourself weak by cutting off the power of God to your life.
All right.
That's why you got to be careful. The Bible says, love the brethren. Now, sometimes folk make it hard.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some of these saints come in, boy, they get to tripping and flipping. And you have to pray to God right there in order to deal with them. But you cannot cast them down. Why? Because Jesus didn't cast you down.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Some of us were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and we still was tripping and dipping and slipping. And we had to go to God. We was to the point. Let me tell you something. And when I'm talking about some of them saints, I'm talking about me. Okay, I was saved and I was filled with the Holy Ghost and I had just gotten to this church and I let my flesh almost trip me to the point of destruction. A third generation preacher filled with the Holy Ghost on his way to hell.
Well,
I'm
gonna talk about it.
It don't make no difference. If you're not following this word, you make yourself a candidate. God don't cast you out. You take your God's. Let me tell you something. Everybody's book name is written in the book.
Amen.
Everybody has an invitation. But when you refuse the invitation by means of death, God
take your name out of the book.
Hey, the invitation to, hey, brother so and so.
Yeah.
He didn't show up.
Yeah.
So it's up to you. God is not going to throw you down on your head and put your arm behind you in a hammerlock and make you get saved.
Come on, sir. Yes.
He's going to do it by love. He draws us all by love. That's how you draw other people, by love and kindness. I like to use Elder Goody because he likes to pass out candy to everybody and gum. Okay? He does that whether you want it or not. But that's the way the love of God works.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we don't want to be bothered with it, but Jesus is still there.
Yes.
Jesus is still there.
Yes.
When you get in trouble, Jesus is still there.
Yes.
He's still there to deal with you. He's still there to love you when you slip up. Thank God we got to advocate with the Father. When I mess up, I can go to God and say, Lord, I messed up. See, it don't make no difference. Nobody is perfect. See, that's a bad mental. We Christians, we born again believers try to present ourselves as being perfect. We're not perfect.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're gonna make mistakes.
Yes, all the time.
That's why we go to Jesus.
Yes.
So we can cut down on the mistakes. I realized I couldn't do this. So I needed some help. That's why I needed a Savior. So Lord, you got to help me with the mistakes. You know what? You got to help me with the bad attitude. The waking up on the wrong side of the bed. And folks come to talk to you and you just...
That's it.
That's what Jesus is there to help you with. But what he wants us to become is he wants us to become mature, a grown up. When you look at a little child, child's always making mistakes compared to a grown up.
That's right.
Grown up's supposed to know how to act,
right,
how to conduct himself. You have to learn how to conduct yourself in this word. Now, third verse again. Ephesians 3:3, it says, how by revelation God gave it to him, made it known unto him, the mystery, as I wrote, in a few words, whereby when you read it, you can understand his knowledge, his native insight, his apprehending of the mystery that was hid in Christ. Okay? You can understand. Once again, God wants you to understand his word.
Amen.
And he wants, and he, now God can get deep or he can make it simple. Not up for me to get up here and try to sound deep.
Come on.
If God takes me into deep waters, that's one thing. Now I want to talk about that. A lot of folks think, you know, preachers just get up here and we just open the book up and we just start preaching. No, don't work like that. Pastor Gardner gave me a great compliment. He said, you know what, you're a fantastic teacher.
Yes.
And I received a compliment. I said, thank you, Pat. But let me tell you how God keeps you in line. The next time I went to open that book, I opened the book up. And I was taken back to when I was a child. And I remember my brothers and sisters, we had a Christmas present. And it was a huge puzzle. And we never were able to put that puzzle together. I looked at the book, God let me know, without me, I don't care how much of the compliments that you get. And you fill with my spirit and my knowledge, but without me, this is a puzzle you cannot solve.
Well, come on now.
It's by the leading of the Holy Spirit that you get the understanding. That's why you have to maintain your connection to God.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You have to maintain a private time. It's not time looking at the TV set. Just like I always say, well, I'm eating dinner. Okay, I love Gordon Ramsay, but I can't get full watching Gordon Ramsay cook on MasterChef.
Come on now.
I got to eat my own food. I got to cook my own food. Now, it may not be as good looking as it is on MasterChef, but if it can fill my stomach, then I can use it. It's the same thing. Don't worry about other people when it comes to the preaching and the teaching and the studying of the gospel. You have to learn to go to God for your own self.
Yes, sir.
Right, he's going to deal with you in a different way than he deals with me. Why? Because we're different people.
Right.
You that are parents and you got a bunch of children, y'all know that. You don't treat the oldest the same as the youngest. The levels of understanding aren't there.
Amen.
You deal with them as they come up according to their personality. Some are quick to get it, and others aren't. You got to work with them a little bit. Some of us, God got to work with a little bit.
Come on,
man.
So, but you continue in the word. Now, jump down to the seventh verse. We just learned that he got this mystery. God gave it to him. Now he gave it to us. Now he gave it to us different. A lot of the word of God was done by prophecy. Someone spoke it out, and then they wrote it down. In Paul's case, it was done the opposite way. He wrote it down, prophetic writings, and then sent the letters off to the church. Because at this time, Paul was in jail. Paul was in jail. Seventh verse, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. In other words, the energy of God produced that in his life. The grace of God produced that. God has given you a calling. You have to operate within your calling.
Amen.
You can't operate outside of it.
Amen.
A lot of folks want to do, you know, they see the prophet. They want to be the prophet. to be what God wants me to be.
Amen.
And I want to do it the way he wants to do it.
Amen.
And God puts people in your life to help you correct. Give you a good example. You know, when I first started, you know, you try to do like everybody else. Now God give you the message, and then you try to make it exciting at the end. And you're like, and all of this kind of stuff. I'll try to do all that. Pastor came took me aside and said, brother, I don't believe God wants you to do that. I didn't get offended. Since he was the one that taught me, I said, Lord, this man taught me a lot of your word. He taught me how to study. If what he is saying is true, allow me to walk in what he's saying.
Amen.
At that point, I didn't worry about it. Because, you know, a lot of times we get up here and we want to be popular. Jesus wasn't popular with everybody.
So he wasn't. Come on, say that.
He wasn't popular. They didn't like his words. Especially members of his own family. The Bible says he could do no mighty, works in his hometown. Because they said, that's not the son of God, that's the carpenter. Man, he ain't nobody. He one of us. I ain't did nothing for him. So you're going to offer, exactly, you're going to have those people. Don't worry about it. What did Jesus say? You kick the dust off of your feet and you go to the next place and show some kindness and show some love. So the power of God is working in this man's life in order for him to deliver this word. Now he says, unto me who am the less than the least of all the saints. And the reason why he said that is because we know what Paul was before he got saved.
Amen. Yes.
Paul was a killer.
Yes, he was.
Little. Yes. Throwing folk in jail, holding the coast while people get stoned. Paul was there. If he found out that you was one of these people that believed in Jesus, he came to seek you out. Okay? So that's why once he got saved, he's like, oh my Lord, I didn't kill your people. But yet, so I'm saying this. You may think in your situation that you're no good. You may think in your situation that you're a worthless. I beg to differ.
Yes.
When Jesus comes into your life, he brings everything you have.
Everything. Amen.
He builds you up. Why? Because you are a part of him. You are somebody in God. And it's not depending on whether you got a title in front of your name or a PhD in front in the back of it or how much money you got in your pocket. God loves you and he has invested himself in you. What you have to do, you got to find out what the investment is.
Amen.
When I got here, I told him I was just like my father. My father, when he got saved, he said, I want to be the best member of Path ever had. When I came here, that was my idea. I didn't want to, after I seen some of the stuff my dad went through, I didn't want to have nothing to do with getting up preaching. Obviously, God had other ideas.
Amen.
And when the offer came, what are you going to tell the one, the one who saved you?
Come on.
What are you going to tell him? This is the one that died for you.
Yes.
The one that loves you, keeps you, blesses you. What are you going to do? You're going to tell him no? So I can see it when I was like, brother, you're going to preach the gospel. Okay, God. If you want me to do it, I'll do it.
Yes.
All right. Show me how to do it. Because I don't know about this.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be the all-knowing. Some folks come into the kingdom of God and can barely spell Christ and know everything. Can't tell them nothing. You have to have a teachable mindset in order to learn. Okay? It's just like on your job, your secular job. You didn't go in there the first day and be the boss.
That's right.
You went to an orientation. They took you in on the bottom level and gave you a job, and you had to work your way up. Yeah, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. You don't start out on the top. You start out on the bottom in ministry. Like I was telling folks Thursday night, I didn't start out preaching. The first job I was at was Pastor Denise. We was clean and Evangelist Denise. We were cleaning toilets. That was my first job.
Amen. I know my
best. Washing pots.
Yes,
in the back while folks was eating. Yes. Folks was eating that table. I'm back there cleaning them pots for them ladies. That was my job. Driving the bus. Bringing up other saints and bringing them to church. You don't start off top. God will elevate you as you show faithfulness to this word and to the instruction that you have. Got to be obedient. Now he says he was the least of all saints. Now, but the grace of God was given to him that he should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Riches so great you can't find them out. Power so great, can't find it out. Love so bad, can't find it out. Man. That's what he gave Paul. And that's what God has given us, that same word that he gave him. He said, and to make men, to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Once again, him taking the saved Jews and the saved Gentile and putting us all in one body together with Jesus Christ, who is our head, man, who is our strength, who is our instruction, who is our peace. He's our comfort, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, Lord, and we have, whoo, good God Almighty.
Come on here.
Come on and give God some praise. We'll repeat that ninth verse. It says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with each other. It's important to maintain the fellowship. Let me tell you something. The way God has this worked out, you can receive strength from any member of the body.
Amen.
Over in Ephesians, some of the other chapters, it talks about how all of the joints and bands and cells provide nourishment for the whole body. Amen. So I can receive a word of encouragement from anybody in here. That's how God works. So there is no big I and little you. So be encouraged. Whatever the ministry God has for you is for you.
Yes, sir.
Perfect your ministry. Perfect it by the word of God. Operate in your ministry. When you get a chance, operate it. Do it decent and in order now.
Man.
God's not out of order. He don't do stuff out of order. He does stuff in order. We got that in that Old Testament, just like we're talking about this morning. When God set up the tabernacle, he told Moses, who's the mediator, the go-between between man and God, to the high priest, tell the high priest he can't come in here up into this Holy of Holies anytime he get ready. He come up here by appointment only because I'm in here and I'll kill him if he come up here without my permission. Once again, that was Old Testament. Old covenant. We can come freely to God in the new. I don't need a high priest. I can come into the Holy of Holies. And I can meet with my Savior.
Yes.
And I can ask him directly. I don't need to go between. I don't need anybody to pray for me. I mean, and it's good for us to pray for one another. Yes, but I don't have to depend on that individual prayer. I can pray my own prayer. And I don't have to pray like brother so-and-so. I tried to do that too. I tried to. This man, I admired him when I first met him. And I tried to pray like he prayed. I didn't tell him on the spot. He has some books on prayer, and so I'm going to pray like him. I say, hey, Brother Rutherford, can I see some of them books? And so I got the books, and I'm going to go home and start to practice to pray like Brother Rutherford. Got to check in my spirit every time I try to do that. God would let me know, I don't want you to pray like him. I want you to pray like you.
Amen.
God hears your prayer.
Amen.
It don't make no difference how guttural it sounds or how eloquent it sounds. God's not in that. God's in love and he's in communication with you and you and you. It don't matter how young you are or how old you are. Let me tell you something. I was still in high school and I was having trouble with tests. You know, you have to try to take the test and you study and everything. When you get there, it's time to take the test and all of a sudden you can't remember nothing. Can barely put your name on the test. Just enough to remember, my name's Timothy Key. So I told my dad, I said, Dad, I'm studying this, so I can't remember. He said, you know what you do? He said, before you take the test, just pray under your breath. ask God. Now, first of all, remember, he said, now remember, you got to study now. God's just not going to just drop this stuff into you. Study and just pray. Under your breath, she passed out the test, Lord. I study. Help me to remember this stuff. God never failed.
Amen.
See, it don't make no difference how old you are, how young you are. God is able to talk to you and deal with you. If you lend, what did he say? If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. Now there's the consequence. If you tell God, to, like pastor say, go on, get. Well, folks do that. I'm just telling you, I don't need you. You tell God, go on, get. Guess what God's going to do? Oh, you? Oh, really? Bye. Yeah. You need me. I don't need you. We get that twisted. We need God. Now, God needs us to carry out certain things because that's what he designed us to do. But he don't need you. Oh, you don't want? Oh, I'll pick this next one. So let's not get that twisted. All right. Now, fifth verse. We almost done. It says, which in other ages was not made known. Talking about this secret. Jump back down to the ninth verse and start with the word which. My Bible is broken up different. It says, which from the beginning of the world or from the beginning of time hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, stay in Ephesians, go to the second chapter and the 10th verse. Everybody have that say amen.
Amen.
It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in. He has ordained this. God has planned this out that we should walk in these good works, in these good attributes. Everybody can do it. It don't take a pastor or an apostle or a prophet to do this work. Every man, every woman, every child who is born again can do this work.
Amen.
God is no respecter of persons. In other words, he don't hold some folks higher than he do others.
Amen.
Okay? The opportunity is there. But if you won't lend yourself to him, then you don't get it. Now, and this is the one of the key points here. Create all things by Christ Jesus. Okay, jump back up to the fifth verse and start with the word as. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise or the promise in Christ by the word of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Jesus has, we have.
Amen.
That's the way that works. Amen. We're joined to him. He's seated in the heavenly places. And if you think about it, if the head is seated somewhere, where's the rest of the body?
Right.
It's seated with them.
Amen.
We're already seated in the heaven.
Amen.
You have to think it. As a man thinketh, so is he. So that you don't allow your situation and your circumstances and your lack of money and how folks treating you on the job pull you down from the place that God has placed you. Now, it's not a place of arrogance. It's a place of peace. Just like I told you about when I locked my keys in the car. I had to remain calm so that God could speak to me. You got to be able to remain calm. That's staying in heavenly places. So that you can hear from God. Because sometimes you don't have time to pray.
Right.
Man.
Some things come upon you, you do not have time to pray. But if you are connected with God, God is able to talk to you and give you instructions instantly so that he can get you out of your problem. Because some of the problems we have are deadly and dangerous. But he has all power, and he sees everything, and he sees the things that you don't see and can help you out of.
Wow.
Come on and give God some more praise. Come down to the 10th verse. It says, to the intent now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Let me tell you what God planned. God planned this about this mystery of him having a joint body with us. Okay. And the angel saw it. The angel saw the plan. They've been with God in eternity. Okay? Good angels and bad. And they have seen and have been amazed. God is showing us off to his angels.
Right.
He's showing us off how we work together, how we have love one toward another, the peace that we share. He's showing that that is the manifold wisdom of God. Come on and give God
a hand.
Infinitely diverse wisdom of God. Ah, oh, good God Almighty. God is showing us off. He's showing off his people. It don't make no difference, like I said, about your position in life. God is still showing you off. What God, good God Almighty. He's showing his wisdom that he planned in the beginning. He said he declared the end of things from the beginning point. That's how great God is. Come on and give God some praise. He says, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, we got liberty to go to him. We got freedom to go to God, and we got access to the Father. Hallelujah. We didn't have access to the Father until Jesus opened the door. Come on and give God praise. We got access to the Trinity. We are part of it because we are in Christ, who is in God the Father. Hallelujah. Come on. So I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what your situation is. You are connected to the power of the ages. You are connected to the Creator of all things. You are connected to deity, and deity lives in you. So it don't matter what you're facing. It don't matter what it looks like. It don't matter what you're facing. God, the one who made all things, he made you in his image. And according to his likeness and his power is invested in you. His glory is invested in you. His comfort is invested in you. His peace is invested in you. His healing is invested in you. Come on and give God some praise. I'm going to just read this and then we're done. I'm going to read the 14th verse. And continue on. It says, for this cause, this is Paul talking, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named,
yes,
that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, because that's where you need the strength.
Yes, sir.
In the inner man.
Yes, sir.
It says, not by might, but not by power, but by his Spirit, said
the Lord.
You need to be strengthened with might in the inner man. It says that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height of God's love is, and to know that love of Christ which passes not, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Once again, God wants us to understand him, but you got to go into this book. And I'm going to make one more reference to the old and the new, and to kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about here. And then we're finished. Come on and give the Lord some praise. Glory to God. To find out about how God works, how he moved in the past, what he did for others, and he'll do for you, his mighty power, his miracles, you can see them in the Old Testament and in the history of Jesus. Those are the four Gospels. To find out who you are and what your place is in it, you gotta look in the epistles.
Amen.
Gotta look in the epistles. You're not gonna find out who you are looking in the Old Testament.
Amen.
You're not gonna find it. Your place is in the new. The instructions are in the new. Everybody stand. Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.
I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Take your neighbor by the hand. I'm going to ask Pastor Relaford to pray. Glory to God.
Jesus, we thank you for your doctrine and instruction, oh Lord God, and correction and reproof, Lord God. But without you, we can do nothing, Lord God. But we can do all things through you. God, we first must entertain ourselves with your word, Lord God, that the Spirit may come forth and reveal unto us that revelation, knowledge, of understanding, oh Lord God, so that we can apply it to our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just lift you up and praise your holy name, oh Lord God, because you planned the plan even before we was thought of in our mother's womb. Lord God, we lift you up and we glorify your name because you are mighty in power.
Yes, Lord.
And God, you have unchanged. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, we lift you up, oh Lord God, that you come into our lives like never before, God. Teach us and guide us and lead us and direct us and protect us, oh Lord God. We give you all the praise and all of the honor and the glory in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Praise God.
Come on and give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you for what you have done in us and are continuing to do, continuing to mature us, Lord God. Prepare us for when you come back, Lord God, so that we will be pleasing in your sight, Lord God. Mature church, Lord God, working on oneness, Lord God, unity throughout the body, throughout all the body, Lord God. And we give you praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on and put your hands together for the Lord.